Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I think I just lost my audio. So anyways, this is a 444th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is Distortions to Biblical Faith Healing and Other Heresies. Is 2 Timothy Chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, last week, if you listened in, and if you didn't, I encourage you to go back and check the last 2 weeks on biblical healing. We covered biblical healing, and I alluded to some of the distortions to faith healing that we see in popular Christian culture right now. And a concern I have comes from some of the music from some of these mega churches, two in particular, Bethel Music and Hillsong. And today I'm going to focus on the song that I played last week, Raise a Hallelujah by Bethel Worship. And by the way, this was one of Becky's favorite songs, okay? So what does this have to do with the message today titled Distortions to Biblical Truth biblical faith healing, and other heresies. Well, I hope you stay tuned right now because we're going to get down into this world of pop Christian culture and the music in particular and how dangerous it can be and why. So this song that we're going to focus on as an entry into this study is Bethel's Raise Hallelujah from their live album, Victory. It came out in 2019, and it was the worship team's first single that reached top 10 status in the U.S. Christian songs chart, and it peaked at, I think, around number 5. Now, it was written by a worship couple, Jonathan David and Melissa Helsler, and they wrote it as a prayer to their friend's son, Jackson Tyler. He was a son of the executive officer of music at Bethel Music, and he came down with a critical E. coli infection, and he was in bed at the hospital, critical care, and his dad, Joel, played this song in the bed. And by the way, Bill did the same thing for Becky when she was dying from that sudden, strange cancer. So let's look at this song. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this song, but I want to show you how creep occurs or how this itching ear thing happens with several stanzas of I Raise a Hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And that's what we're supposed to do. Louder than unbelief, amen. My weapon's a melody, amen. Heaven's come to fight for me, amen. There's really not much wrong with any of this. Singing in the middle of a storm, well, didn't St. Paul do that? You're going to hear my praises roar. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Amen to all this. Hope will up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The king is alive. This is all good stuff, folks. With everything inside of me, I'll watch the darkness flee in the middle of the mystery. Fear you're lost. Fear you lost your hold on me. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. My praises will roar. You know, this is good. Death is defeated. The king is alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing a little louder. So then it repeats this. Let's sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies, they repeat all this. Heaven's come to fight for me. This is where I want to start to focus in, okay? So we're singing in the middle of the storm. Our praises are going to roar. Our hope will arise. All good stuff. The king is alive. Sing in the middle of the storm, okay? Praise the Lord. So you're really getting fired up on this, okay? Raise an hallelujah. Now, here's where it gets a little dangerous. When you sing, heaven invades the earth. Okay, now it does. Read Revelation chapter 19. Amen? But that's Jesus bringing heaven to earth, not the church. Okay? But they don't even imply that there, okay? But I guess it is implied. But here's the danger, okay? It's okay, okay, biblically, but when you sing heaven invades the earth, are you really understanding it? Or does our singing bring heaven to earth? Well, I'd give that a pass, okay, except the Bethel lead pastor, Bill Johnson, wrote a book by that same name, and here's where it gets really dangerous. That book's full of grievous biblical errors. So when people listen to this music, and it's being played all around the world in churches everywhere every Sunday. People see that little Bethel Music logo and copyright. And yes, it's copyrighted. And they generate revenues. And I didn't think we were supposed to peddle the Word of God. But anyways, that's another story. So, people hear this music, and it's good music. I won't deny it. But then they say, oh, wow. The pastor of that church wrote a book by the same name. I got to get that. And he makes some crazy claims in that book. He claims that when heaven invades earth, it's the church rather than the Lord Jesus Christ who ushers in this kingdom. And that's blatantly false, folks. We're not here to make this world a better place. And I hear that a lot in these churches, too. We're here to preach the gospel. We're to be spreading the seed and watering the seed so that the Lord can bear the increase. We're to be salt and light in a lost and fallen world. It's not about the world. It's about the people. So it's plain wrong when Pastor Johnson implies this sort of thing, okay, that we're going to have heaven invade earth. It ignores these events in Revelation. It ignores the rapture and the biblical truth that each and every one of us have to have the power of Christ in us, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to preach the good news. And then on page 29, oh my folks, on page 29, he claims that Jesus, when here on earth, was just a man who was Spirit-filled. So by association, by implication, we can do everything that Jesus did while here on earth. Wrong, folks, wrong. That's not true. You see, Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, the God-man. And how? Well, that's a mystery. And that's a mystery known as the hypostatic union. And it's true. And I'll get into that a little bit later. Okay? But think about it like this, okay? If Jesus was merely a human and not divine while here on earth, his crucifixion and death on the cross would have been in vain. Because there'd be no remission and atonement for sins without the perfect, spotless, holy God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just like every week. And that's important because of his substitutionary blood sacrifice for all of us who believe. So if he was just human, merely human, Spirit-filled but human, his crucifixion on that bloody cross in Calvary would have been no different than the countless animal sacrifices that the Levitical priesthood offered up for hundreds and thousands of years beforehand. In fact, they were doing it that very day. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we're told that these sacrifices of the priests were ineffective because these blood sacrifices had to be made over and over and over again. Read Hebrews 9 through 10, and you'll see that this was the final sacrifice. Why? Because of the hypostatic union. So the truth is, Jesus is completely human and completely God. And he offered himself up as this acceptable blood sacrifice for our sins on the cross. He died, he was buried, he rose on the third day, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? So Bill Johnson, he's confused on this. And that's a heresy known as ketosis. And it's dangerous. I saw it creeping in back at Pittsburgh East around 2009, 2010. And I got in some hot water speaking out on that, but I had to. Plus, Bill Johnson is all confused about miracles. Up in the banner, folks, I put some quotes by him and one of his co-pastors. So listen to some of those quotes, but I want to read two of them for you right here. Without miracles, there can never be a full revelation of Jesus. And listen to the second one. Miracles provide the grace for repentance. Really? What's that all about? I'm telling you, this is some twisted focuses, and it's distorting the purpose of miracles. And it completely ignores what happened to Jesus while he was here on earth, when the Jews, in the face of these real miracles, utterly rejected him. So here's Jesus performing, I'm talking about A-plus genuine miracles, raising people from the dead, healing the lepers and the lame, bringing sight to the blind. Yet he was still rejected as Messiah. Remember, Jesus gave that account to all around him concerning Abram and what Abram said to the rich man in Hades. They will not believe though one rise from the dead. And then the second quote, miracles provide the grace for repentance. That flies in the face of Romans chapter 3, verse 24, which says, being justified freely by his grace, how? Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, not in miracles. And then he goes on to say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to live a life in public disgrace because she got pregnant outside of marriage. But that was her cost for her encounter with God. What? That's not what the Bible teaches. Read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, and you'll see what I mean. Mary was protected from public disgrace, revered above all women. And then, of course, the Catholics go and distort that and make her a god. She's not the mother of God, she's the mother of Jesus, the man portion of the God-man, Jesus Christ. But that's another story for another day. Now, the core premise of this book, okay, of his, is all built upon John chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So Pastor Johnson takes this scripture out of context and wrongly claims that all of us as believers have been given this supernatural, godlike ability to perform signs and wonders greater than those of Jesus. And that's not the truth. Now, the Assembly of God is a good, good denomination. Yet, and they believe in present-day miracles. They don't believe in cessationism. And folks, I'm like that too. But it's not us doing the miracles. It's God doing the miracles. When we pray, it's a prayer of faith, and God moves according to his will. And that's the tenet of the Assemblies of God, and perhaps we can get into that more next week. But Bill Johnson and others, they've twisted this, and now they wrongly claim that all of us as believers are given this incredible godlike ability to call down signs and wonders and perform miracles at will. And, you know, I think I was starting to get into some of that while we were praying for Becky. And it's dangerous. It really is. And that whole thing about the ketosis heresy, Sister Jackie brought it to my attention last fall. Thank you, Sister Jackie. And I kind of blew it off because I didn't want to think about this, but this whole passing of Becky and her graduation to heaven made me pause and think about the faith, because it's really easy to lose your faith over something like this. And I would not allow that to happen. So I had to ask myself, what's going on here? Well, this is what's going on. And it's important to remember that all miracles come from God, not from some super anointed person with a mantle on. And I mentioned last week that a lot of these believers, these followers from Bethel Church, they do this thing called grave soaking, where they lay on the grave of one of these faith healers or one of these people that understood this truth, like Smith Wigglesworth or Catherine Coleman or some of these others that recognize that this came from God, not from them. They think, oh, I need to get the mantle of Smith Wigglesworth. No, you need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, so God can use you as a leaky vessel to do these things. So it's just a big buzz. All this stuff about miracles, I'm going to buzz again. I'm going to buzz Bill Johnson again. He needs to be buzzed, folks, because this scripture is taken completely out of context. Completely out of context. So if you're willing to throw out the Bible and its intent with some of these scriptures, ignore the context it's written in, reorder biblical events, and deny the deity of Christ, then go for it. Stick with people like Pastor Johnson and get angry at me and stop listening. But I'm warning you, this book with the same name as that catchy worship tune, Raisin' Hallelujah, will draw you into all sorts of mistruths. And yes, I'll go as far as to say heresies, because that whole teaching on ketosis is a heresy. And that's the danger with so much in music today. You know, a Bethel Church used to be an Assembly of God church, but they left the reservation a while back, 15, 20 years ago, just like Hillsong did. And they became itchy ear preachers. And they tell us things like in some of those quotes, don't get too focused on scripture. Now, if you do that and you follow them off the reservation, oh, Lord, have mercy on your soul. Folks, it's so sad that so many today are being deceived by these lies. And they follow people like Pastor Johnson and others right off the path of orthodoxy. Now, if you're going to debate whether or not God still does miracles through the prayers of the faithful, okay, that's a legitimate discussion to have. Whether or not you can speak tongues or not, that's a legitimate discussion to have. But if you get in there and start to think that this is something that you're doing because you're special, that's dangerous. And on the other side of the coin, if you're like some preachers out there that say there are no more miracles, these things don't happen, that's dangerous too, folks. Our God is a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He's able. And he uses those people willing to surrender. And when you surrender, look out, because miracles do happen through you, not by you, but through you, just like the teaching on the branch and the vine. And it's amazing. And that's the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And it's real, folks. And that's what Becky and Bill and I and all those people that we ministered to at Sozo's, that's what we believed. And that's in line with the Assembly of God teaching. But it is not what Pastor Johnson and many others are teaching. So the concern with their music and the music of Hillsong and Steve Furtick's Elevation Worship is that this widespread play that they're getting by tens of thousands of otherwise solid churches across the world each week at their worship service, it becomes almost a tacit endorsement of these particular churches. So the people see the little logo up there, the Bethel Music logo, and then they go to the Bethel Music website, and then they get drawn into some of these false teachings. These churches unashamedly teach and preach. It's false doctrine. So, okay, this music, Raising Hallelujah, it's just okay. And it's actually rather catchy. And it's designed to draw people in. And then once they're drawn in, you get sucked into these false doctrines. So these renegade pastors, like Bill Johnson and some of the people at Hillsong and Steve Furtick, they promote these anti-gospel cultish messages that snare so many. And folks, that's my concern. So after their exit from the Assembly of God, which if you read the tenets of the Assembly of God, it's rock solid. It truly is. And then by their own admission, they come out and say, we're part of the new apostolic reformation. This whole movement, provided the Lord's willing, I'd like to get into more of it next week, it promotes all sort of deceptive and dangerous theologies. For example, they talk about word of faith, dominionism, latter rain, Joel's army. These things are dangerous. And you got to be careful with some of this stuff, folks. But that's not all, okay? Even some of the pop Christian singers without a church behind them, they have to be watched. Folks, we have to stay discerning. And the Holy Spirit gives us that ability to discern. So what I'd like to do now is cover just some brief points that can be found in a Christian Post article titled Christian Music Theology is Going Bad to Worse. Okay, so you can get this online. And if you can't find it, just send me an email at kdbeer1961@gmail.com and I'll get it out to you. But this bad theology can be found in all sorts of hit Christian singles. For example, there's one called Your Love Never Fails, and a lot of different groups did it. Jesus Culture, who's associated with Bethel, did it. Newsboys, and many others. And an opening lyric in that song says, nothing can separate, even if I run away. Well, what about George Perdikas, I think is how you say it. He's the lead singer from, one of the co-founders from Newsboys. He's admitting now he's an atheist. Well, what happened to George? And then Chris Tomlin. Oh, my. So many good songs from Chris Tomlin. One of his latest ones called God's Great Dance Floor. In one of the lines, he says, you'll never stop loving us, no matter how far we run. Now, at face, that might sound okay, but that's almost implying that you can't outrun God's grace. And okay, well, I'll get into that a little bit more. But the truth is that true Christian followers will never run away from God. And the ones that did, well, the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So what happened to them? Well, now, okay, it's true there can be a prodigal event. We know about it because Jesus taught on it in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. You know the story. So you can return, but there's no provision for the ones that never do. That's the point. The Bible even warns about falling away, and I like to call them false salvations. Okay? Godly sorrow that leads to repentance, but worldly sorrow, you know? You know that quote. I've done it over and over and over. Listen to this passage out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. So I think where you have this is there's the wooing by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit to draw you to an awakening to this truth. And then it goes on to saying we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is working in you. Okay? Doesn't mean you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Just means that the Holy Spirit's working on you. Good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So you're seeing all these things that are coming, you know. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So what the writer here is saying is, you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to be patient with you so long, and then he's going to turn you over to your reprobate thinking. And that's what Paul taught in Romans and I think Thessalonians and a few other places. And then how about this scripture where Jesus warns about denying him? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, he says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Folks, I'm telling you, we have to make a decision whether to believe in and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the world behind us, the cross before us, or not. Now, I think the Holy Spirit is paramount, for none see God, no, not one. But once that awakening occurs, once the light is turned on, it's your choice to respond to the light. You know, Jesus warned his own disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, and whosoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Bottom line, a lot of this contemporary Christian music has an unbalanced view of God's grace, and it communicates false claims concerning the attributes of God. You know, they get this notion that God's grace just envelops you, okay? It's inescapable. It's a crashing tidal wave of grace as the one who recklessly holds on to us despite our current state of unbelief and unrepented sin. You know, there's a passage in the Jesus Culture song called Fierce that says, like tidal wave, I can't escape. Now, that almost sounds like the I in Tulip, you know, the five-point Calvinism. T, total depravity. U, unconditional election. L, limited atonement. I, irresistible grace. And P, perseverance of the saints. Now, I've done messages on this in the past, Arminianism versus Calvinism. And I'll tell you what, folks, there are Calvinists who are truly saved, and there are Arminians that are truly saved. But you can't pick and choose like you're at a cafeteria line. It doesn't work that way. So these songs, these pop songs, they preach this one tenet of five-point Calvinism, irresistible grace, but then they get out of some of the other things about total depravity and the perseverance of the saints, and that's all by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. He's the one that gives you the power to overcome. So it is technically God who perseveres, not the saints themselves. But, you know, I do believe that in all these different teachings, there are people that if they adhere to the tenets of the teaching can be saved. It's an awakening process. You know, some through love, others plucked by the fire. Calvinists, they support this eternal security in verses like John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, Romans 8, 1, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and Philippians 1, 6. Read them for yourself. But then a lot of these people playing these songs will say, well, you can lose your salvation. Then I contend, folks, you never had it. Okay? Even the David Crowder band in that song, How He Loves, and that's a great song. It says in one line, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, if you imply that grace is a process of sinking, that makes you believe that all of us, both saved and unsaved alike, eventually drown in grace. In other words, you're heaven bound no matter what you believe, and that's universalism, and that's wrong. Now, praise the Lord, God's sacrificial grace is overwhelming. It is amazing. And I've taught in the past, it's even dynamic. It adapts and morphs with you as you walk towards the Lord, as you surrender more and more towards the Lord. And it's the core to our gift of the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Yet these pop songs, they're promoting an overemphasis on cheap, or what I like to call greasy grace. And bottom line, folks, this can and it does distort the gospel message and how we view it. And the other thing that I've noticed as you read through this is these pop songs, you virtually hear nothing about repentance. Now, many of these musicians, they're genuine in their heart, so I'm not bashing them, but they don't write a lot of these songs. They're written by other people. And you know, their hearts are right. So I'm not, this isn't an attack, and this is difficult to do, but after what we went through with the loss of our dear Becky, I had to really examine what I believe. So that's why I'm sharing this message today. So a lot of these musicians, they're trying to be genuine, and they're trying to stay honest and positive and encourage people about the love of God. And there's a place for that in Christian music. But the theology, the overarching theology in this pop Christian music has got a common message of solo gracia, or by grace alone. And don't get me wrong, we are certainly saved by grace alone. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But this music then paints God as this relentless pursuer of everyone, even those trying to outrun him, or those living in habitual sin. And it never or rarely speaks about repentance, okay, or turning from your old ways, having a change of mind, a change of heart, okay, 180-degree reversal. And that's what true repentance means, and that's absolutely essential to become a believer, and for the process of sanctification and ultimately glorification. And by the way, this change of mind and this turning away, study the Greek word. Yet listen to what Bill Johnson defined repentance as. And this is a quote from The Supernatural Power of His Transformed Mind, page 44. Renewing the mind begins with repentance. Re means to go back, and pent is like the penthouse, the top floor of a building. So repent then means to go back to God's perspective on reality. That's not what it means. Well, that's wrong, okay? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm telling you, folks, without true biblical repentance, not this stinking thinking of Pastor Johnson, no one can be saved. And, you know, he claims, oh, people are taking that out of context. Okay, well, I didn't say that, Pastor Johnson. You did. It has nothing to do with a penthouse. Nothing. So when you say things like that, it just makes you sound like you're uneducated. The Bible says in Psalm 7, verse 2, if a man does not, God will sharpen his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. You know, those new in the faith, young believers, when they get drawn into these things, they're in danger of falling prey to this lovey-dovey, easy-to-swallow music experience with, I like to say, liver shivers and crocodile tears, and that can lead them away from some of the more challenging messages on growth and this repentance and the things that we are called to do. Remember what Paul said in chapter 4 of the second letter to Timothy, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, who will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside the myths. So maybe right now we're seeing these days come to pass in this crazy world with the coronavirus and all this garbage going on with this political infighting and this economic collapse we're experiencing. The bottom line and the takeaway here, folks, is that a lot of the theology in Christian pop music is watered down, and it's moving away from the sound doctrine that the Bible offers us. You know, Chris Vallotton, he's another pastor at Bethel on the screen. He said in this one quote, the Bible isn't a roadmap, it's a compass. Really? Where did it say, Pastor Vallotton, where did it say that it's a compass? I had a buzz him too, okay? That's strange. And there's a few other ones up there that are really, really strange. And I just encourage you to go there and read them and then pray on this. But the Bible doesn't say that it's a compass. It says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Plus, like I said, there's some other really strange views from Pastor Valaton on the Bible and God's scriptures. So, folks, bottom line, it's important that we understand that God's love encompasses so many essential truths, okay? You can't have God's love without his justice, okay? You cannot have his grace without his judgment. Yet we're not hearing enough of this in Christian music. There's two sides to a coin, and I'm telling you, it's a very thin coin that doesn't have two sides. Amen? You know, Jesus warned his followers in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, "Fear God who has the power to kill you and throw you into hell." And then the Bible says in Psalm 7:11, he's a just judge. Hebrews 12:29, an all-consuming fire, and it warns us in Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Moses even wrote a song, and I'm telling you, this song wouldn't get much airtime today. Here's a verse out of it, Psalm 90, verse 11. "Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear, that is due you." So what do we do for good worship music, folks? Well, the Gettys write and sing some solid worship music, as do Shane and Shane and Sovereign Grace. There's some good stuff out there, folks. Beware, because Satan, the great deceiver, he masquerades as an angel of light. Okay, he can transform himself. He shapeshifts, as do his ministers of righteousness. So they can make music that seems to be Christian and for the most part is, but you only need 1% rat poison and really good food to kill the rat. In fact, not every Christian artist should be called regenerate or heretical. Even these ones, you know, doing some of these songs, okay? They need our prayers. They need to be guided and encouraged and exhorted, and the Word of God needs to be used to correct them when they get off path. I'm not saying their heart's desire is to deceive. I think they're being drawn into this. They're being wooed by the angel of light and his ministers, or false ministers of righteousness, so to speak. So pray for them, okay? We have to be loving to them. We have to encourage them as musicians. But in the same sense, we got to be watchful and discern in these crazy times we live in, folks. So as you go out this week, be careful what type of music enters your ears and your minds and your heart. Yes, even so-called Christian music. Just don't turn on K-Love and say, "Oh, it's good because it's Christian." And provided the Lord's willing, and we're still here next week, what I'd like to do is explain this apostolic reformation and compare and contrast it to the Assembly of God, and then just get into some of their dangerous theologies like the Word of Faith, Dominionism, Latter Rain, and even Joel's Army. And folks, when you go out this week, put on some Getty music, put on some Shane and Shane, put on some Sovereign Grace, and if you can't find any, just email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com and I'll send you some playlists. I love you all, folks. Let's just listen to this song, "The Perfect Wisdom of God," from Keith and Kristen Getty.
The matchless wisdom of his way that marks the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. Of your sovereignty.